Good morning. It's good to be with you. And it's good to share in the Word of God here the wonderful contrast we have between these two passages of Scripture. In one passage, we see the disciples, the apostles, gathered together in a locked room because they were afraid of the authorities coming and arresting them and, at worst, crucifying them too. Then in the Acts of the Apostles, we see that they're hauled before the same council that was responsible for Jesus' death because they were boldly out preaching in the name of Jesus. What had happened to these men? These men who were virtually cowards, who had denied the Lord, like Peter, three times, who were hiding in a room because they were afraid of the authorities. They encountered a risen Lord. The Holy Spirit was breathed out upon them, according to this passage in the Gospel of John. And we are reminded that in the Gospel of John, that the Holy Spirit would bring to remembrance everything that they needed to know. You see, they forgot a lot of what Jesus said. Once they went through the trauma of seeing their Lord, their Master, their Teacher being arrested, tried, and crucified, they were so frightened that they forgot a lot of what Jesus taught them. But once He appeared in His resurrection body, once that Holy Spirit was breathed out upon them, then they remembered all of the things that He had said, all of the teachings He had said, all of the predictions of His death, and they understood. They encountered a risen Lord, and they went out into the world proclaiming His name. Now that's pretty good. It's good that God accepts us even when we appear to be failures. They had failed their Lord. Oh, they had bragged real big. You know, I'm going to be loyal. I'm going to stand up for you. But they didn't. They went and they hid. And they were afraid. They were self-centered. They got absorbed in what was happening in their lives instead of remembering all the things that this Jesus had taught them. And He accepted them anyway. We have a picture in one of the appearances where He's walking along the road to Emmaus, just chatting with them in His resurrected body, having a meal with them, and then they recognized who He really was. We have a story of where He's cooking them breakfast down by the sea. You know, they forgot what they were called to be, and they went back to their old ways. They went back to fishing. But Jesus was there by the sea, preparing breakfast and made a place for them. Jesus accepted them even in their failure. And that gave them strength to be a success. Now, I don't know about you, but that's good news for me because I fail a lot. I make a lot of mistakes. And I need a Lord that can understand that. A Lord that makes provision for that in my life. A Lord who can change even those stubborn things about me, even those hateful things about me. And sometimes I can be hateful. You know, I try not to be that way at church or out in public, but you know, when we get in our homes and we're comfortable and we're hurt or we're irritated, sometimes we're hateful to the people we love the very most. Sometimes we say things to people that we love dearest that we regret as soon as they come out of their mouths. And I need a God who can accept me and redeem me. And all He says I have to do is confess that I've done wrong. And He'll forgive me my sins and remove them from me and make me a new person. And I need that a lot. The disciples needed that. And they became truly new people in Christ. They were put in prison. They were brought before this council. And this group of cowards stood there and said, "We must do what God tells us to do, not what human authority tells us to do." They knew the difference in what was God and what was not God. And they were talking to the high council. They were talking to the people that in that day and time spoke for God, but they knew the real difference. They knew the true God, and they knew the people who just played at religion. We will do what God says. We will obey what God says, not human authority. And you know, sometimes in the life of the church, it's disguised, the Word of God is disguised in the cloak of religion. We have made countless mistakes down through the years as Christians. We have done horrible things in our history in the name of God that God would have nothing to do with. And we must have that which is human and that which is of God. And these apostles had done that. You know, sometimes we forget that there's a difference between the apostles and the disciples. There were about 120 disciples of Jesus at the time of his death. Many of them women. They were a band of people who followed Jesus around, who wanted to learn everything they could of his teachings. But we had 12 people who were set aside by Jesus. They were called to something special, to be apostles. And these apostles were to establish Jesus' church. They had a mission. They had a job to do. And they never thought they'd be able to do it. But there they were, after the resurrection, filled with the Spirit, with a new courage, out all over Jerusalem, telling everyone who would stop and listen about this man Jesus, who had come and lived among the people, who had taught the people, who had revealed God to them in a special way, who was crucified, dead, and buried. And this was a God worthy of worship. And the council, the high priest, were upset and brought them before him and told them, stop teaching in this name. They wouldn't even use his name. Stop teaching in this name, the name of Jesus. Stop doing what you're doing. We're the high councils. We're the religious authority. We'll tell you what's right and what's wrong. But this group of cowards stood up and said, no, we obey God, not human authority. Now the question I have for you this morning is, as a church, do we do that? Are we bold enough to say we're going to obey God rather than human authority? And as I was thinking about this passage, I thought about the commandments. The Ten Commandments that God has given to us and how we've worked our way around every one of them. You know, the first commandment says that you shall have no other gods before me. And yet we have created gods out of success and money and personal appearance and pride and prestige in our country. We have made gods out of that. The second commandment says you shall make no graven image. You shall not fall down and worship anything but me because I'm a jealous God. And yet we worship our cars, our houses. We worship name labels. We worship the things that the world says are important. We listen to human authority way too much. The third commandment tells us, you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. You shall not use God's name inappropriate or in an unworthy way. And we make an exception to that. Unless you're really mad, and that shows how angry you really are. Or the commandment that says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Take at least one day out of the week and make it a holy day to remember to me, to praise me, to lift me up. And we do that unless something better comes along. Or the commandment that tells us to honor your father and mother as long as they do what you want to and pay for what you want them to. No, that's not in there. And yet we live in a day and age that we don't honor our mothers and fathers. There are many people that have grown up in our society and are still growing up thinking that a parent is something they're supposed to have in order to make life easy for them. That parents are there to fulfill their needs and their wishes in every way. And sadly, I've had mothers who've come into my office for counseling who have been physically abused by teenage daughters because they don't do what the daughters think that they ought to do, or are abused by teenage sons. That there's drug and alcohol use in the home by children because the parents feel captives in their own homes. That when we get 12 or 13 years old, we think we're smarter than our parents and we know what's best for us, and why can't we do what we want and stay out as late as we want and choose the places we go and the kind of people we hang around with? It's none of your business. But they still want to live in our house, and they want us to pay for their food and to pay for their clothes and to see that they get an education and go to college. Where is it that we honor fathers and mothers? Or maybe we're grown and we get busy with our lives and worshiping our other gods and kneeling down to our cars and our houses, and our parents are getting older and we just let them fend for themselves and we don't take care of them in their old age. We find our excuses to break the commandments and obey what the world tells us instead of obeying what God tells us. Or the commandment says, you shall not kill unless you feel justified in doing so. But it doesn't say there's an exception to the rule. Even though in the scripture people are put to death, it doesn't say that it's right, that it's godly. Or thou shalt not commit adultery unless you're really in love with somebody and really feel like it's okay to sleep with them. You know, in the scriptures, they would have never thought about adultery just applying to married people. It applied to all people. It meant faithfulness sexually outside of marriage, the bond of marriage and the commitment of marriage. But it's okay because everybody's doing it. That's something everybody in our society chooses to do, people say. But I really love them, so it's okay. The love makes it right. No, it doesn't. But it's okay for me to live with somebody, sleep with somebody, and come to God's church and have that marriage blessed by God. But you know, deep down, it's not going to be blessed because we listened to man and not to God. Or the commandment that tells us, thou shalt not steal unless you think you can get away with it. Do you realize that most of the surveys of students in elementary, high school, and college overwhelmingly show that children believe it's okay to cheat, it's just not okay to get caught? You just got to be smarter than the teacher. You got to find a way to fool the people around you. And the only thing that's wrong is if you get caught. If you fail the test because you got caught. If you get kicked out of school because you get caught. And this is kids right up to college age. Maybe the stakes are higher, so it's better justified. So let's do what the world says instead of what God says. Or the commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor unless you get something out of it. It's okay to lie as long as it serves my purposes. You know, that person didn't do me right. You know, I'm going to say some things to make them look bad. I'm going to get even with them. And you know, the biggest excuse we use is the little white lie. You know, that's something that Jane and I have a thing about and had it for years and years and years. You know, she says, well, I don't think little white lies are wrong. I said, well, you know, a lie is a lie. Yeah, but you go into somebody's house and they buy something new and they're so proud of it and they ask you what you think. Sometimes you have to tell a little white lie. And I says, I don't see why you have to do that. You know, sometimes we'll go someplace and somebody will show off their new curtains and they'll ask Jane what she thinks. Well, they'll ask me too, and I'll tell you my answer later. But they'll ask Jane, and she'll talk for 5 minutes about those new draperies. I mean, they're just having a good old time talking back and forth. And I think, Jane's taste have changed since last time we talked about curtains. And, you know, so we're driving home, and I'm saying, did you really like those curtains? She said, ooh, I thought they were hideous. I said, well, how in the world could you sit there and you talk about how much you liked them, how pretty they were? And she says, well, I didn't want to hurt their feelings. It would have been rude. Now, who came up with that rule when it comes to lying? Ms. Manners? You know, it's okay to lie as long as telling the truth is rude. But you know, I saw those same curtains and I thought they were hideous too. But you know, I found something good to say about those curtains, you know. Boy, they really are colorful. Colors I wouldn't want in my living room, but you know, you know, I don't know who hung them, but they just hang so nicely. I mean, you know, if you try hard enough, you can find something nice to say. You don't have to lie. And we have made excuses for God's commandments so we can live the way the world says to live. And one of the things now is to be politically correct. You know, is a new catchword for lying and not saying things, you know, the way they are. You've got to always go check out what's in vogue and what's politically correct for now. And then here's the big one. I mean, we've created a whole industry around this last commandment. You shall not covet anything. You shall not envy anything. And the business we created around that is the advertising business. Do you realize that if we didn't covet things, the advertising business probably wouldn't make any money? How many of us, if we were really honest, bought things because we coveted them, we envied them, we were sold a bill of goods that they were so great and so wonderful, we just had to have one of those things? You know, I don't know whether it was a George Foreman grill or special name on your tennis shoes or on your clothes or the kind of car you need to move up to or the style of house you need to be in. We've got an industry that makes billions of dollars because of our tendency to covet what other people have and to covet what an industry tries to tell us we ought to covet, and envy, so we can be whole and complete. So you see, in a lot of ways, the kind of life we live today, we're cowards. Just like the apostles were, just like the disciples were. Because we're going to listen to man instead of listening to God. Isn't it good that he loves us anyway? That he can forgive us for being cowards at work, at school, at church, out in the world, on the street, not living up and obeying what God says, but just doing what the world says is good and polite and nice and good manners. You know, I want to see God bless this church in a very special way. But you know, we can't do that unless we follow God's word. The discipline of the United Methodist Church isn't going to get us there. The bishop isn't going to get us there. And brothers and sisters, a preacher that's appointed here is not going to get us there. Because preachers like myself fail and fall too. But the Word of God never fails. We have got to put our trust in the Word of God. I don't know whether it's because I'm getting old or because I have two churches and I don't know what I say. I do this at Bible study a lot, don't I? I don't know whether I've told you this or not. But it shocked me when I was counseling a very successful surgeon who talked about moving to a small town And he really didn't believe in God that much, but his wife did, and he had children, and it was the politically correct thing to do. It was the socially correct thing to do to belong to a church. I mean, if you're going to be successful in a town, you need to belong to a church. And he said when they went there, they couldn't go to the Presbyterian church because that's where all the old money was. And so they could never be anything important in the Presbyterian church, although he planned on making a lot of money in that town, because that was the old money church. So the Presbyterian church was out. And they looked over at the Baptist church and says, well, you know, they expect a little bit of you. We don't want to go there. They said, you know, the perfect place to go is the Methodist church. They'll accept anybody and anything. Brothers and sisters, that broke my heart to hear. And this man was just as serious as could be. He says, yeah, we can belong to the country club and we can go out and drink too much on Saturday night and go to the Methodist church on Sunday morning and no one's ever going to say anything because half of them are there at the country club with us and the other half just don't care. How far wrong is he, brothers and sisters? If we care, would anybody know it? Do we stand up and let people know what's expected of us? Maybe that's one reason we've lost over 1 million members in the last couple of decades. Unless we do what the disciples did, in spite of our failures, we turn to God and we become bold and obey God rather than man, we're not going to be the church that God be. We can't make excuses for sidestepping the Word of God. That must be the foundation for our plans. And I think it was interesting. The high council wanted to arrest and even maybe put these apostles to death. But one among them, Gamaliel, stood up and said these words, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of men, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe in the word that was revealed to us in Christ Jesus. And I believe if we obey that word and live by that word and take a stand on that word, God will build up this church, will build us up as individual Christians, and we'll have a message to share. We'll have a reputation that people will come because of what they know about this church. Well, the good news is, that successful surgeon gave his life to Jesus. And you wouldn't even know he was the same man. I mean, his wife almost didn't recognize him. He loves the Lord. He tithes. He's involved in church. He wants to make a difference in the United Methodist Church. I want to make that difference. And I hope you want to make that difference. So we can stand and hold our heads high knowing that we're obeying God rather than men when we come to this place and when we represent our Lord and our Savior. I hope you'll join with me. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we're thankful that you could take fearful cowards and turn them into great men who proclaim the gospel. And you've promised that you'll do the same thing for us. But it's not going to happen if we listen to the ways of the world, if we make excuses to get around your commandments, if we avoid your word and responsibility for that word. Help us to live faithfully all that you have taught us in both the Old and New Testaments. Help us to know that Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law and make it whole in us. So it's not just written in a book, but it's written in our hearts so that we live it, so that we share it, so that the love of Christ is is such a part of our lives that what we share with others is so compelling that they want to come here and learn more about your word, because we do stand for something. We do represent something. And people can come here and learn about that very special something that we find in Christ Jesus. May we believe that, may we proclaim it, but above all, may we live it while we're here and wherever we go. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.